Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with wonderful guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the real leadership challenge with remote working and social distancing. And joining me today by phone is national multifamily industry educator, consultant, and author Rich George, owner and COO of the NOI Coach. And in the studio with me is longtime multifamily industry veteran Monica Gracia, regional director at Dayrise Residential. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, Paul. Hi, nice to see you. Nice to hear your voice again.
Yeah. And happy holidays to everybody, too, as well.
Absolutely.
This topic, you know, 9 months ago, this would have never been, 9 or 10 months ago, we've never even thought about a topic like this. But it's something that we've been dealing with on a day-to-day basis, Rich, for the last 9 to 10 months. It has been a situation when I've talked to professionals in the industry where there's been some frustration because one day in the early days of this, they would have to do things a certain way, and then they would get instructions to do it a different way, and employees of management companies and as well as residents were feeling the frustration of the fact that things were changing, and it's still changed quite a bit over the last several months. What are we going to expect going forward as we move into 2021? What are your feelings?
You know, I've got my opinions. I can't wait to hear Monica's opinions about this, but I don't think any of us can really predict what 2021 is going to bring to us. What I do know is that no matter what happens in our world, whether this vaccine takes hold, whether, we start to reopen our society, our economy, anybody that tells you they can predict what's going to happen, I think that they are sadly mistaken, because we've tried it several times this year. But what I do know is that with all of these challenges that we've faced, all the challenges I've ever faced in my lifetime, the people that whine and cry about it, you know, about what's happening to them versus what they're doing about it, they're the ones that are going to lose. And I think that that's going to kind of frame our whole conversation today, Paul, because I think it really is. We have to look about what is that opportunity. And I know, Monica, you are in the throes of trying to plan for 2021, not only on a budget standpoint, but also just operational and organizational development. What are you guys looking for as you're looking to plan for this next year?
Right, exactly. Operational, we had challenges in 2020 that, we expected that didn't really take place. We anticipated having huge collection problems. We anticipated having huge occupancy problems, and that really didn't come to the forefront in 2020. I mean, we didn't experience the growth. So as we're preparing our budgets, we're in the throes of it right now. As we're preparing for budgets, we're taking those into consideration. We are starting to see some, the collection issues are starting to rear their ugly heads now. But that's also typical in our industry at this time of year. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at things that we can do and things we're going to do to make it better for our on-site teams. We're looking at, and for the residents, we're looking at different resident events. We're also budgeting things for the teams and different rewards and incentives, budgeting for, like leasing commissions or different types of rewards that way. Those are things that are taking the forefront in some regard with looking at how we're going to keep them motivated, because really it's the people that matter as we roll into 2021. How are we going to keep our teams motivated, focused? And really, that's the challenge that I think we're facing as we head into 2021. Residents have always been something we take into consideration, but now it's about us and our on-site teams, the people that are on the forefront.
Absolutely. And Rich, when this all began, there were expectations of what the challenges would be, and then exactly what happened. Did those challenges come to fruition?
You know, I think that Monica just really hit the nail on the head when she was talking about, you know, we were predicting all of the operational challenges. We were predicting those challenges with collections, with evictions, and with, you know, getting personal protective equipment and keeping our employees safe, and the new processes that we were going to go through with disinfecting and all of this stuff. That was all very predictable, but we didn't, at least what my coaching clients and I discovered very quickly, that it was less about what we could do or we couldn't do, and it was more about who we were doing it with. How it's really turned out is, you know, the communications with our people, supporting and training our people, giving those recognition and reward programs that Monica was talking about, but most of all, understanding and recognizing that we were all in a different place as it related to fear, anger, excitement, you know, just the all of these overwhelming emotions that were, you know, pummeling not only us as leaders in the industry, but all of those people that work with us. I'm sure listening to Monica's conversation, that first question that you asked her, that this is right in line with what you've been experiencing out there in the real world, isn't it, Monica?
Oh, absolutely. You know, things, you know, I did a couple things within the, you know, association, and I would talk to other leaders in our industry, and you know, a lot of our discussions weren't about the standard industry challenges. It was more about our people. You know, we have people, you know, whose family members are getting sick. We have, you know, managers and leasing agents and assistant managers now having to homeschool their kids, you know, figure out a way to do that and engage, you know, recruit family members to help them, because they were all still coming to work. Everything shut down. We, you know, as the leadership, we were working remote. I was making it a point to still go out on site. However, they were there every day, you know, Monday through Sunday in some cases. And they were facing other challenges, personal challenges. And I found myself talking to my teams, not about, I mean, yes, we talked about, you know, typical operations, but I found myself engaging with them more on a more personal level, asking them how their kids were doing, asking them how they were doing, and dealing with topics that were typically avoided in the past. Now I found myself reaching out and asking those questions that were, you know, always frowned upon in the past, I guess.
And Rich, I think that has a lot to do with connecting with your teams and also connecting with residents. What has social distancing done to that connectedness?
You know, the human element of our business is a part that in my practice and in my experience, you know, the first book I wrote was, you know, Hire the Best, Ditch the Rest. The second one was, you know, The 12 C's of an Effective Leader. And it's all about those people. And, you know, I think that for a long time, since long before this pandemic, connectedness has been a moving target. You know, the consistency of using text messaging or, you know, very abbreviated emails, social media, we've been physically disconnecting for the past several years, decade or more. Mm-hmm. What this pandemic's really done is it's allowed us to normalize the behavior that we were already going down and to shed what was simply becoming a facade, if you will, of that physical connection that we had, because we were in the same workspaces, but we were still communicating primarily virtually. So this pandemic has allowed that facade to be broken down and make it acceptable. And so I think that might be one of the plus sides. And that's really the origin of us deciding to use this as a topic today came from a Fast Company article that I read that led me on down this, you know, Pandora's, it really opened up a Pandora's box of research for me. Because this cycle of fear and sadness and excitement and anger, it's consumed all of us this year, and we just want to get off of this ride. You know, connectedness has really been a challenge in 2020. You know, the social distancing, the fears, the political climate and divisions, the depression that we've experienced, the judgment of the behaviors of others, these are all things where we are pulling apart, yet we are becoming very tribal. And I know that we hear that a lot in outside of our business, but it's true within our business too. And we have to make sure that we are very intentional about not letting that happen.
Yeah. And Monica, we've got about a minute left in this segment. when it comes to some of the things, some of the challenges that you outlined of the people that you're on your teams, mm-hmm. Did they rally to each other's help to help them with things? I mean, everybody's going through a traumatic time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they did. You know, the teams all came together. The teams generally work together. They're like a little family. Mm-hmm. And during this time, I saw them really come closer. And I found myself diving in deeper. And, you know, I like Rich's word, you know, intentional. I found myself being more intentional with mm-hmm. every point of contact I had with them, whether it be a text message, you know, a short email. But every point of contact had to be intentional and has to be intentional because we have to make use of any time I'm talking to them, any type of interaction. And I want, you know, to make sure that they feel that they have my support and that they have each other's support. And we're all in this together. They're not alone. And that's key.
Yeah. And, you know, like my father used to always tell me, with every problem, there's an opportunity. The opportunity here was to get that connectedness. We're going to break it here for this segment, the first segment of this episode of our show. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistent. Excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of the real leadership challenge with remote working and social distancing. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is a national multifamily industry educator, consultant, and author, Rich George, owner and COO of the NOI Coach. And in the studio with me is longtime multifamily industry veteran, Monica Gracia, regional director at Dayrise Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I want to let our listeners know, if you'd like to provide show topic, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Rich, before the break, we were talking about the challenges of the less than ideal conditions that we've had with this pandemic over the last 10 months. So I'm guessing there's some positive things that are going on out there. Let's talk about some of those.
I told you about the Pandora's box that I opened when I started really researching this topic. I found a great study by Vital Smarts that they've really been talking to leadership in all different industries, over 2,000 industry leaders, and asking some of these questions about this connectedness. And how are you keeping your people connected to your organization, to the goals and missions of your organization, to the values of your organization? Our industry is a little bit unique because much of our industry has not been work from home. They have been working at other people's homes, and but it still has this. We have this element of distancing that we have not had. I'm a hugging kind of guy. I like a good hug. My wife's family is Mexican, and you know that's what we do. This has been very awkward for us. So that connectedness is started to affect our social systems, and you know it really plays to the amount of social capital that we have within our organizations. That social capital is such an important part of building cultures, such an important part of building loyalty, and to getting, you know, to gaining that engagement from our employees. And if there was ever a time where we need engagement, it's now. You know, the engagement factor here, you know, engagement meaning that people give us that discretionary effort more than what just the job description says. And that's what we need from people. And what we need also from people is to have acceptance. So, you know, we're going to share some stats with you in this segment about what these surveys have said, which were a little shocking to me.
Yeah, and I just want to, because you mentioned a couple of different articles and things that kind of helped you to decide how you wanted to go with this topic. So I'm sure if someone were to contact you, and you'll give your information out at the end of the show, that you could point them in the right direction on getting a hold of those articles.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love Fast Company. It's probably one of my most read. They're nice, short articles. If you just Google work from home, Fast Company, it's going to be the top article that comes up, because this is, and there's a rabbit trail that you can go down. It's like anything on the internet. You know, if you like this, click here, click here, click here. And before you know it, you've wasted, you know, 10 hours of your life. So,
yeah.
Not wasted, but, you know.
Well, let's dig into the social capital that you mentioned before, as it relates to the connectedness of the teams. What do these things mean to our teams?
Social capital, you know, we are in a business where we manage other people's capital, right? That's what we do. We are investment managers, and our capital, our human capital, is so important to us. And I know that for me, I hear people talk about human capital and invest in our employees. And for most people, these are just, they're just placating words, and they don't mean anything, but it's so important right now. Some of the statistics that I read, is the thing that surprised me the most is that teams are very forgiving in this environment. In general, the on-site or the work level teams are, they're 60% more likely to respond quickly to requests from each other. This data shows that they're three times more likely to give the benefit of the doubt to each other. Almost three times more likely to sacrifice their own needs to serve the larger team goals. And more than twice as likely to take initiative to solve problems rather than waiting for the fix to be handed to them. Those are some great statistics. If those are playing true in your workspaces, then you better be leveraging that. Now, the caveat to this has only happened in organizations where the employees first acknowledged that leadership had put social capital as one of their primary goals since the beginning of this pandemic. I'm anxious to hear, Monica, are you experiencing these kinds of events from your employees where they are more forgiving of each other and more accepting of each other?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you said it right, where they're more willing to do so when they're, you know, I've always said, you know, employees who are feel more appreciated, they'll work harder and want to do more. I mean, that's true of me, myself, as well. And so I think they absolutely are more forgiving of each other. They're more forgiving of me, even. You know, I find that where they're, if I don't respond to an email right away, they'll call me, you know. But I also, or they're more forgiving where I can send them that text message later after hours because I just thought of something, and they'll respond. And it's really cool and really refreshing to see how they have come together and how everybody is just, you know, working together, even, you know, amongst comps, you know, within each other. And so it's a really cool thing to see. And, you know, one of the things that they're way more forgiving of me, I'll be on a call and my dog may start barking in the background. And I'm like, I'm so sorry because she heard something. But, you know, those type of things have become okay now. They were once taboo, you know, to be on a business call and, you know, you hear your dog or you hear a toddler or you hear other sounds. And now that's kind of, it's okay.
Yeah.
And people are way more accepting of that. And it's nice to see because people are understanding that we are all human and we are all accepting of each other and understanding of what we're going through.
We've really loosened those societal and the cultural norms, have we not? I can say I've seen that with my executive coaching clients. You know, I've got certain people that I meet with on a weekly basis. We sit and we have conversations. We've always done it remotely because they're scattered all across the country. But I used to see them in their offices all dressed up, prim and proper. And in the beginning of this, I saw them trying to play that on TV, you know, trying to dress up each time. And I saw as they loosened up, their problems, as they loosened up with me, the problems that we were talking about or the challenges that they were trying to overcome also started to evaporate because they started becoming real people to their charges, to their employees, to mm-hmm. their partners, and their associates. And I think that's, if we've learned anything here, maybe the button up, you know, black, you know, white shirt, tie, environment is not going to serve us in this people business. Because we're dealing with people, and so that means we have to be people.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got about three minutes left. I wanted to ask you, Rich, you know, understanding that our on-site teams in our industry are going to work every day and they're on the front lines, and the corporate office folks and even regional teams are working remotely. What are the on-site teams expecting from leadership?
You know, I wish I had the answer to that, but I'm gonna be anxious to hear what Monica says because she's closer to those on-site teams. But in my opinion, and what I've heard, you know, and what I read on, you know, just the many social areas that I'm a member of, I see that people really want support at a human level. They want to feel supported. They want from their leaders. This is something that they wanted prior to the pandemic, but man, is it critical now. And that is decisiveness and confidence from their leaders. I think that is something that when we are in an area where, you know, we can all find comfort with ambiguity, but ambiguity does not play well when people are afraid. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to really make those steps to eliminate the alienation and the social isolation of people and teams. We need to do, you know, intentional things. Going back to that word, Monica, you like that word, and I think we're going to say that
love
word.
Love that
a lot
word.
Today, being intentional and active in that building of the social capital, because it's not going to happen by accident. Monica, I'd love to hear what you have to say. I know that we don't have much time here, but let me know what your thoughts are.
No,
on that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, support. That is what I hear. That's what they need. That's what they want. That's what I need. That's what I want. And I think it's so important to remember that and, you know, being decisive and confident. I need to be confident when I'm directing them to do something so that they feel comfortable. They're the ones out there pushing out whatever, you know, policies that we're rolling out. They're the ones rolling them out, pushing them to the residents and having to stand firm. And so that's what they want. And they want to know that they're supportive. They want to know that we're there and that they are not alone. I think, you know, eliminating that alienation and the isolation, it's no longer, you know, corporate in the ivory tower and them out on site. We are all one team and working together. And it's imperative that we make it known to them and that they truly feel it. That they just, it's not just words, that they feel it and know that they do have that support coming from their leadership.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's what I'm hearing as well in the industry. But we're going to break this segment here. We're going to be back with our next segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of the real leadership challenge with remote working and social distancing. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is a national multifamily industry educator, consultant, and author, Rich George, owner and COO of the NOI Coach. And in the studio with me is longtime multifamily industry veteran, Monica Gracia, regional director at Dayrise Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Rich, we've talked a lot about connectedness and the fact that we're working remotely. We've lost that face-to-face contact. What are your thoughts about other ways that we can connect?
You know, we've been exploring that this entire year, have we not? I know that we have all attended things virtually that we never thought we would attend virtually, whether it's weddings or funerals, to, you know, learning events, to conferences, and, you know, they all feel halfway back to normal, right? And I think that that's the biggest mistake that we are all making collectively as a society. I think that we are all sitting back wishing for things to just, we want this to be over and just to go back to the way that we used to do things. And I've always subscribed to the theory that the way we used to do things is the most dangerous phrase that you can have, because the way we used to do things is what brought us into this. So we do have to find some new ways forward. I also avoid the words new normal because there's nothing normal about any of this.
Right.
You know, but you know, in our prior life, we had forced connectedness with the work schedules. We were forced to get together. So that connectedness was there just by structure. We went to the office. You know, good leaders, I think, are experimenting with less structure to the workflows. And I believe that that's what we're going to see going forward is maybe some of this stuff is a better best practice, the way that we're doing it now. You know, I think leaders have to become more creative with encouraging that interconnectedness within their teams and then amongst their various teams. You know, those fun off-the-wall virtual events, whether they're dance parties, eating contests, children's games, or more frequent, smaller duration team meetings. You know, adding a level of ad hoc to those schedules. I think that you know, at the beginning, oftentimes we felt like, well, we have to get on this meeting because that's really when the boss is taking attendance to make sure we're really working. And that has to go away. We have to look for those virtual networking opportunities. We have to, you know, maybe give surprise deliveries with better tools for doing their jobs or fun surprises or rewards. I think these are big things. What kind of stuff are you doing out there in the real world, Monica? I mean, what are you finding that people are really appreciative of?
Well, you know, I haven't had an eating contest, so that just sparked my interest. But, you know, what we are doing, you know, we're finding those fun, different ways to connect. You know, I would say, you know, we've done social, you know, or virtual happy hours. We've done that type of thing. We're doing, you know, different games, different ways to reward them, different incentives, you know, pushing information out to them, but making it fun. And, you know, I really like, you know, the comment about the meetings, you know, it goes back to that word intentional. We need to be more intentional with our time that we're setting aside to meet with the teams. You know, I think way back when it was a structured, you know, monthly manager meetings or, you know, quarterly this, you know, just to check the box that we had it. And so now, you know, I'll meet up with my teams virtually once a week for 15 minutes just to kind of go over different things, also check how their weekend was and, you know, get to know them and, you know, how is life basically, but also just to be intentional. Okay, these are the items we need to do because I know they're busy. I know I'm busy, and we're all sitting in front of this computer so much that we're trying to make the time in front of it shorter. But it's kind of interesting to watch how much they, you know, like it. You know, you play music on the video and they, you know, respond to that. They respond to different things that I, you know, we never thought of before. But I love the ideas of, you know, all the virtual events and contests for the teams and for everyone. Basically, everyone needs that relief right now when you can't go out really and do it in person the way we used to.
And Rich, when you say connecting to employees, what types of things should we be thinking about?
You know, connectedness is a concept that there have been many books written about it, many papers written about it, but connectedness goes beyond just person-to-person connection. I think that, you know, you have to be, we as leaders, we have to be very aware of people's connections to themselves, as well as their connections to each other. But on top of that, are they connected to your mission and your values of your organization? Or are they connected to simply the truth of where we are at collectively? And then, you know, ultimately that connection to community. I think we are seeing this is a generational change, but also it's really been spurred along by this pandemic, this desire to help people. I've seen so many acts of just absolute selflessness throughout this. A fellow industry speaker of mine, I just was looking at a post that said, basically, if anyone in my sphere is having trouble providing Christmas or food, please PM me and I will, you know, we won't make this public, but I would like to be able to help you. And that kind of connection to the community is critical. And you need to have that connection to the community, not individually, you know, because we all want to be, you know, philanthropists if we can. But we also need to see that our organization is contributing to what that future for us will look like.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, Monica, one question I've got for you before we jump to the next topic is, when it comes to this remote, non-face-to-face society that we're dealing with right now, how do you deal with interacting with your residents on that basis?
So with residents, that was a challenge. And, you know, residents are at a point where they are frustrated. They're stuck at home, you know. But I think if you had the tools, a lot of companies had, you know, the portals online, and we're kind of moving that direction to begin with. And then I think it was, if you had it in place, that truly helped. And so one of the terms we coined was, you know, kind of saying it's better to over communicate right now. So we were communicating via email, via text message. You know, we're on the phone more than ever before with our residents is out on site is what I've noticed. You know, residents were so used to coming into the office and, you know, grabbing a cookie or grabbing a refreshment, and they're no longer doing that. So it's real important that we are intentional, using that word again, with reaching out to our residents, you know, sending them information, and also taking that same key of sending them stuff that's not just telling them the things that they're doing wrong, but also fun stuff. Here are ideas for you and your kids to do, you know, during this. Here's virtual bingo type thing, you know, and also, you know, letting them know we're here for you. We are here. If you need us, call us. And it's key just to keep that open line of communication with our residents and with our teams. And I think the residents, the properties and communities that have done that have been well received by their residents. You know, the reviews, you look at online reviews right now, and the ones that it's evident who wasn't taking that time, who weren't taking that time to communicate with their residents. Residents are, you know, have no hesitation going online and marking that. However, you're seeing residents be more willing and apt to post positive reviews if their communities have reached, you know, done something different, have gone out of the ordinary role of business and, you know, reached out to them, offered to help them. And, you know, I think that's been key in this.
Yeah. Rich, we We got about 2 minutes left in this segment. What are your thoughts on the when we're doing all these different connections with your professional self and your personal self blending together?
You know, that's what I've spent my entire career trying to get these two things to blend together. And anybody that's ever seen me speak at live, you realize that I am one of those people that I overshare personal information because I don't have those filters, those things that we modify when we walk through the door. We've always been taught when you cross that threshold at work, you need to turn off your emotions. You need to disconnect from your personal life. And I just think that that's always been bad advice. It's always been bad advice, but now even more so, especially to our leaders. You know, going back to what Monica was talking about, on these calls, if your dog barks or if your toddler runs by, you know, behind you without their diaper on, that's okay. We're all human. You know, leaders that steer into this skid rather than trying to compensate for it are going to be better, in my opinion. You know, don't try to shield these things that are not seen, you know, they're not being seen as unprofessional, but they're seen as being human. And that's what we need from people today. We need that from everybody in our lives. If we see that people are real, and if we see that people are authentic in the way that they communicate and the way that they interact with people, it will move the needle at a human level. And when we move the needle at a human level, it will move the needle in the operational and in the success metrics that we're looking for.
Absolutely.
We have to be those leaders that are open to error, to being open to making a mistake and just owning it. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know what, picking up, laughing at ourselves and moving on. I think that's what our employees need to see, want to feel from us, and that's how they're going to feel connected to us.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, we're gonna leave it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of the real leadership challenge with remote working and social distancing. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is national multifamily industry educator, consultant, and author Rich George, owner and COO of the NOI Coach. And in the studio with me is longtime multifamily industry veteran Monica Gracia, regional director at Dayrise Residential. I want to let our business supplier partners that are listening know that we do have a couple of very unique sponsorships that have become available for Multifamily Matters. If you're interested, go to our website at multifamilyradio.com and send us a message. Monica, I want to start with you on this question. What do you think all of this means about building company cultures with the connectiveness and the social distancing and so forth? How do you see that affecting building the company cultures?
You know, a company's culture is imperative to the success of the company at all levels. And I think as we roll into 2021 and as we're navigating this, I think it's important that companies are intentional with everything that they do, from every policy, every procedure, and every act of service with their on-site teams and residents, that we make sure that we are intentional. You know, that word is just huge, mm-hmm. but it's so very important with it. You know, and with that, it's also super important that support and understanding are key values. If a company doesn't have those as two top key values within the organization, then their teams are going to feel it, and their teams, and in turn, the residents will feel it. And so it just all trickles down. And so by making support and understanding key values, that's just setting the stage for success. And it's so important that, you know, we've been using the word, you know, that we're all human, that we put the human back into human resources. We are human. We make mistakes, and it's okay. We are human. We have lives outside of work, and that's okay. And, you know, like what Rich said on the last segment, you know, back in the day, it was when you step into that office, you put your game face on and that's it. You leave your problems at the door. Well, unfortunately, that's not able to happen now. And so it's important that we understand we are human, our teams are human. And when we're dealing with them, that we put the human back in human resources.
That's right. Rich?
You know, I think that Monica hit it on the head there, that being intentional and really all of these things that we're talking about, they take courage. You know, to build your company culture before this and through this takes courage to recognize who you are. You know, I look at a company's culture as a company's personality is really what it is. And are you the person that's got a good personality or a bad personality? That courage, though, it really means be that person that's willing to tell somebody when they got spinach in their teeth. One of my coaching clients is wrapping up this week. She started this back in September. She said, you know what, I'm going to connect with every employee in my company. And some of these are people that have been hired since the pandemic began, so she's never even seen them eyeball to eyeball. But they have a large company event usually in the fall, and they weren't able to have that. So she's replaced that time, and she's doing 15-minute one-to-one, face-to-face, via virtually, sessions with every member of her team. And she just has come back with so many wonderful things. But she said, every time all of a sudden I see somebody's face pop up on that screen, she goes, I'm taking great notes about people because I'm learning so much about them, but I also have to be ready to hear what I don't want to hear. Mm-hmm. And that takes courage.
Absolutely.
So I would encourage all of you as you go into this next year, before we get our big season in the spring, the leaders in our industry, consider doing an initiative like that. I guarantee you, you're going to learn a lot. Some of it's going to hurt. Some of it's not going to be great, but have the courage to do it.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. We talked a little bit previously about connections to mission, to the community, and that as leaders, we really need to work hard to build and maintain those connections. How critical is this to our success, not just today, but as we move forward in the next few years?
You know, I've learned repeatedly throughout my life, disconnections are harder to repair than original connections are to build. So knowing that, this is not an opportunity to let disconnections happen. And it is really hard to do when we remove that that face-to-face connection. But I, something I teach in every fair housing class that I teach in our industry is, if you treat everyone as though they're the most important person you're going to interact with that day, then you will never have people complaining about connections. Mm-hmm. So square up with people, be present, have your heart, your head, and your feet in the same place at the same time. And, you know, don't let these disconnections to the mission and the overall community break, you know, to begin with. We have to be intentional about what we're doing. And I, what I know is success doesn't happen by accident. It is the result of intentional and often very difficult actions. We have to be what we expect other people to be. This is the moment in your life when you have to live with integrity. You have to say what you mean what you say, be who you are, not who others want you to be.
Absolutely.
Well, Monica, what do you think about that? Do you think that's great advice for leaders? What else would you add to that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's great advice. And I also think right now, you know, one of the things is to do the right thing. You know, that is something, what's the right thing to do? That is the question that I've asked myself a lot throughout this year when dealing with employees and when dealing with, you know, our residents. It's, I'll ask myself when making a decision, what's the right thing to do here? For so long, we were governed by, you know, the strict parameters of the lease, and we still are. However, you know, this goes back to that whole forgiveness, and this goes back to being intentional. What's the right thing to do, and to do the right thing? And it, that goes back to that integrity. I think it's huge and it's key. You know, mean what you say, do what you're, you know, do what you say, and, you know, live the right way, and let others will follow. And it's important for your teams to know that, and to know that you are, you live what you say. You know, you live by the way you walk. You, what is the saying? You walk the talk. I'm, yeah, help me here, somebody.
Don't just talk the talk, walk the
there
walk.
There you right? go. That's it. Yes, and yeah. And I think it's important for them to see that.
You know, Rich, we've got about 2 minutes left before we transition to something else that I want to talk with you all about. But how can our listeners, our multifamily audience, be intentional and safeguarding that social capital and also promoting good company cultures? What can they do?
I think the number one thing right now is remember everyone is afraid. Everyone goes from being afraid to depressed to being sad to being angry, but they're somewhere in those stages perpetually now for months. They're afraid of the economy. They're afraid of this pandemic. They're afraid of the vaccine. They're afraid of food insecurity or social unrest or the political turmoil that our country has been going through. They're afraid for their own job security because no one knows what mm-hmm. next year will bring. And I think that none of us want to predict bad things, but we have to predict real things. And so we have to recognize the boogeyman that we face, that fear. And then we have to be the calm that's within the storm. We have to begin to talk about the future. We need to begin to talk about 2021, 2022, the years and months ahead without fear being the dominant part of that conversation. Because we have to stop looking for that the way we used to do things or even a new normal. We have to start looking for all of the improvements that tomorrow is going to bring to us. And, you know, Barbara Robinson quote that says, nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but everyone can start today and make a new ending. And that is what's written on the wall for 2021. We cannot complain about the cards that were dealt to us, but we can play the cards that we have to the best of our ability. And we can do that by surrounding ourselves with the best.
Absolutely.
And we will be the best.
All right. Well, We could continue talking about this topic, but I want to always give our guests the chance to share with our listeners a few things about them and what they're doing now. And Monica, I'm going to start with you. Tell our listeners how you got into the business, the multifamily business, and also where are you now? What are you doing? And if there's anything you need from them, let them know and how to reach you.
Well, I got in the business 3 years ago. I was a part-time leasing agent. I always joke and say, you know, that person that you blame, that got blamed for everything. That was me. I made every mistake possible. But one of the things, you know, throughout my tenure has been, you know, you learn from every mistake. And I will say my first manager was probably one of the roughest ones ever. I mean, tough, tough, but she taught me so much. And so I've over the years worked my way up, and you know, I've been a training director. I've been now I've been a regional since 2011, I would say. I'm on the board of directors for the Houston Apartment Association. I currently chair the Education Advisory Council for HAA, which that is so super rewarding. And what a challenging year we had there dealing with that. And I'm currently with Dayrise Residential. I just started with them almost 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I love it. The culture of the company's great. You know, one of the things that we're finding a struggle with right now is finding maintenance employees, you know, mm-hmm. maintenance team members. But I think that's an industry challenge that everyone, you know, after talking with other regionals and other leadership, everyone's kind of facing that challenge. But, you know, that's what we're looking for. And so I am on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and, you know, you can find me anywhere. I'm okay. around.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rich. I know your story. Tell our listeners, we've got about a minute and a half left.
I always love coming on your show, Paul. I love being able to join industry legends like Monica. I think that, you know, if you know somebody that would be good to fill one of her roles, I know she's a great person to work with. People love doing that. I as well grew up in the business. I've been in it a little over 30 years now. I hate to admit that, but you know, I now get to spend my time living vicariously through folks like Monica and hearing the wonderful stories of what's happening out there in our space. It's an industry that's been great to me. I started as a groundskeeper and I've ended up as an owner. I'm an investor in apartment communities, and this business has given so much to me. I love sharing my story. I love being part of that HAA education program that Monica's working with. You know, they're in the local Houston market. You guys have got a fantastic apartment association that has just done amazing things. I just was down there last week. I keep missing being in studio with you, Paul, but one of these days we're going to be able to strike that balance and I'm going to be able to spend that time with you. But if anybody has any questions for me or they want to just call and yell at me, you know, my number is 248-302-4444. I've always got plenty of opinions. They may not always be right, but I've got one for you too.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today. It's a fascinating topic, and I'd love to have you both back on again in the near future in 2021. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.